PM board bombs.
Welcome back to EM board bombs. What's up, Blake? How are you?
It's a pleasure to be here. Chilly morning.
Joined here by my co-host, co-founder, Dr. Briggs. Nice chilly morning here for us too. I think we have our voices back finally.
We do.
We had this like 3 week period where I lost my voice for legitimate reasons. You lost your voice because I guess the cold.
Yes.
Being outside in the cold. But we're back. We're here, ready to rock and roll. We are EM Board Bombs. We provide, you know, board pearls, but I think just in general, more life advice, how to approach EM. We like to banter, talk about random things as well.
Like to make fun of each other.
Mostly. That's pretty much consists of what we've been doing for like the last like eight plus years of knowing each other.
Mostly for the past 30 minutes.
Yeah, and also that's what we wasted 30 minutes on and then decided to finally start recording the podcast. Yeah. Hey, let's get into it.
Yeah.
A 23-year-old TikTok influencer presents to your ED with the chief complaint of nausea, a metallic peppery taste in their mouth, headache, palpitations, and dry mouth.
Nope, let me interrupt you. Chronic Lyme.
No, not this time.
I'll let you finish.
He has no significant past medical history. This happened 20 minutes after he was trying a new dish for his TikTok channel. Apparently, he is some sort of like chef influencer.
Sure,
he's based on some sort of new fish recipe he wanted to try. He usually just cooks barbecue, but he ventured into fish when he saw someone selling it at the gas station in a styrofoam cooler. Now, in your head, this just overall puzzles you, but then you also realize you need to have a different mind to be a 23-year-old TikTok influencer.
Yes.
Yeah, so you choose not to comment. You just don't say anything.
As in you don't really have a mind, but yes, go ahead.
Well, it's a different generation.
That's a nice way
to Anyways, think. He says the fish was labeled as, quote, fresh from the Gulf, and was labeled as tuna. What type of poisoning is this patient having?
Okay, let me go through the Xander choices. Yeah. Choice A, Stromboid poisoning. Choice B, Ciguatera poisoning. Choice C, paralytic shellfish exposure. Choice D, Vibrio vulnificus poisoning.
Correct answer.
Before we
here.
Get to the answer choice, don't do it yet.
Hey.
What's coming up in 3 weeks?
Four weeks, really. Yeah. When is it February when IT is coming up?
End of February.
So you've got a couple weeks here. You can go through. We've got 400 plus questions, question answer podcasts. They're amazing. I would say with every podcast episode that we do that's 2 to 5 minutes long on EM Rapid Bombs, you get probably 3 to 4 questions out of that. Because we have a coaching section. We tell you, we break down the subject and we tell you how they're going to test you on it. It's a great way to study as you're driving to shift because obviously you're a resident, you're busy. When you're working out, walking the dog, it's pretty awesome. So again, you can find that on emboardbombs.com. You can go to our website, click on the question bank, and then right from our website, you can actually sign up for our EM Rapid Bombs podcast. So check it out. IT is coming up. It's a great way to study. And also for those of you who enjoy just quick snippets and just EM life and keeping on top of and being, you know, keeping your game sharp. You know, I will say you want to keep the knife sharp. That's how you keep it sharp by listening to EM Rapid Bombs. And hey, Briggs, real quick, give a shout out to EM News, our only sponsor of all time.
Yes. The only sponsor that is worthy for EM Word Bombs. EM News, check it out. Emergency Medicine News.
We say no to everyone else.
We say no to everyone else.
Straight up.
Anyway, EM News. EM News is the voice of emergency medicine. Check it out. They got great articles, editorials. They're online. You can get the print edition, too, if you like paper. And check it out. Pretty awesome stuff. Great editorials. Our podcast is featured on one of their main pages.
Yep. Love it. Hey, correct answer here is what?
Choice A, Stromboid poisoning.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't you remember this one? Don't you remember...
This was frustrating because...
Yeah, these were frustrating to learn.
Because I felt like none of these were like, for the most part, like life-threatening. Like, I can easily look this up, but you have to like memorize it.
Also, you're never going to see it if you don't work at the coast.
That's what I'm saying.
You're just not going to like see this.
Right. And so you're memorizing it. You're like, I'm spending like time and effort memorizing this and I'm not.
Right.
This was frustrating. And I think if I had to memorize it just by looking at text or reading it, it was hard. So that's why we tried to make it in like an audio.
That's how
podcast.
I had to learn it. Yeah. There was no podcast for it.
Exactly.
Or someone did like some review in your residency and they had a PowerPoint and it was just like they raced through this and you're like, I'm not going to remember that. Like, that's so random.
Yeah.
It was always at the end of the PowerPoint, like, oh, by the way, don't forget this one thing you've never heard of. It's also one of those things you've never heard of in med school and you get to residency and you're like, oh, I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, this seems a completely different topic that I'm just not going to be using. You do need to know this. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to just intersperse some breaks while we talk about this, stories. And then at the end, we're going to wrap it up as well and go through it so you can kind of listen back to it and try to get it down. So let's just jump right into it. There are two main ones that we're going to talk about, and you need to know the differentiation between the two. Now, boards will probably give you like two of these together on an answer choice as we did. Exactly. So
we're synced.
I know we always were like lately, especially last few months, super in sync. So get into it, Briggs. What are the two main ones?
Yeah. So the first one's going to be Scombroid. Yeah. So this is fish from the family Scombroidiae.
Yeah.
Don't memorize these following fish. I'm merely telling you these just so you can reflect on if you've had this fish recently and think you have Scombroid.
Yeah, and just mention like two or three of them. Don't even mention the whole list.
Tuna, mackerel, skipjack, and then any dark fish, you know, dark meat fish, herring, bluefish, anchovy, sardine, amberjack, black marlin, mahi-mahi. Great. Don't memorize those.
Don't.
They're never going to ask you the type of fish on the test.
Nope.
I know all your study guides probably list a bunch of fish species.
Yeah. Don't memorize.
Don't memorize these. We're just telling you for fun.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. So at a dinner party, you can say, I know a condition that's caused by eating these if they're improperly stored.
Right. Right.
You can be that nerd. So what happens here is that some type of enzyme produces histamine and histamine-like products. And then due to improper preservation, these leach out.
Mm.
You get this strong allergic-like reaction from eating this fish.
Yeah.
And the presentation can be what we mentioned here. Besides the TikTok thing, metallic or bitter taste in your mouth, facial flushing, dizziness, non-specific GI symptoms, who cares, headache, palpitations, dry mouth, urticaria, paresthesia. So basically allergic reactions.
Right. And the metallic bittery taste and the facial flushing, those are like the two things you need to remember. And the paresthesias.
Right.
So I would actually list like three of those that you need to really remember from this. Everything else is fish, pretty non-specific.
Yeah. Fish that is non-shellfish.
Yes.
Crazy fast onset, like within 20, 30 minutes, some type of allergic-like reaction, and it lasts up to like 48 hours. So thankfully, it's a short reaction. It goes away. You're just supportively treating this. You're not giving epinephrine unless they're having like anaphylaxis, which is a completely different thing than this.
Yes.
And you're just giving antihistamines, IV fluids. Obviously, they can eat fish again if they want to. It's not like
not suddenly developed some sort of weird like anaphylactic reaction or anything like that. So that's why it's really important.
Don't add it to their allergy list.
Yeah, exactly. So the next one that I can never pronounce.
Oh, let's hear it.
Ciguatera.
Oh, that's pretty close.
Got it. I love it.
It's more of a feeling when you say it. You have to put your hand out like this. Like, I'm not gonna,
I feel like I'm like listening to Yoda talking. So this is a weird one. Again, it's some reaction with a bacterial toxin in the fish that occurs. Species, again, don't memorize this, like amberjack, barracuda, mackerel. I'm not even getting into the others.
Mm-mm.
So you have this anticholinesterase and sodium channel blocker mechanism that's going on. Onset's going to be 2 to 6 hours. So it's not actually going to be right after. This one's going to be longer. So remember, that was the other thing, right? So Scomboid, it's going to be a lot faster. This one is 2 to 6 hours after ingestion. And this is really weird. So duration of like symptoms, this is pretty nuts.
Chronic Lyme.
Yeah, I know. It's like 1 to 2 weeks up to months, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're not really getting it into that duration phase. They aren't going to present some patient who had this like a month ago or something. Just don't worry. It's just important for you to understand. Hey, what's the presentation here? Because the presentation is just, honestly, there's some really awkward presentations.
Yes. Paresthesias and then cold, hot temperature reversal. I still remember that one actually from residency because it was just so weird and random.
Mm.
Cold, hot temperature reversal. And then you could have some weird autonomic symptoms, bradycardia, hypotension, GI symptoms. It doesn't matter. The point is it's supportive care. The vast majority, you just got to wait this one out, stay hydrated. Atropine, whatever, if they're, you know, bradycardic, because we love atropine. And then histamines.
Yeah, they're not going to present, like, honestly, a bradycardic.
No one's going to be sick. If they're going to be sick, you're going to manage them like a sick patient.
Right, exactly. But I think that presentation of perioral paresthesias and the cold hot temperature is the one that they'll ask you about.
Hmm. If you go to Reddit, there's a lot of answers on how to treat this. Yeah. And here's one from someone from Australia.
Reddit.
Here we go. I got Ciguatera in February. I was incredibly sick for 2 months, mildly sick for another three. Here's what I learned in my experience. Dehydration inflames all symptoms. Time is the biggest healer. Avoid nuts. Take activated charcoal as much as you can, at least an hour from all meals and medications. Stop all caffeine. It makes things much worse. If you don't improve over time, look to cholestyramine. Try not to gain weight. Ciguatera is stored in fat. Try saunas. Good luck.
It, just to be clear, we're inserting some humor there. You should not use
look
any
at Reddit
advice. That would just not Reddit.
There's Reddit also a Reddit page entirely dedicated to if Ciguatera is sexually transmitted.
I feel like we've just jumped the shark here. You know, people, right? They make the when the series jumped the shark, we just jumped the shark.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people on here. I'm not advocating for this. There are a lot of people on Reddit that are saying to drink alcohol to reverse the symptoms.
It's just not good.
And they swear by it.
I don't know what Briggs. You've just gone off the rails here.
Let's move on.
Come on.
I'm going to cover shellfish. There's a lot of weird things that happen with shellfish.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating, actually.
You saw it in the Gulf?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Your time in the Gulf.
People would come down for Mardi Gras, and then they would eat a bunch of shellfish at a restaurant, and then they would come into the ER with some weird symptoms.
Oh, yeah.
There's some weird things that you don't ever have to memorize for shellfish because there are separate conditions listed, like, on different websites. But let's just lump them all together because they're all really the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's, neuroleptic shellfish poisoning, paralytic shellfish poisoning, angioedema from shellfish. It's weird, and you don't have to memorize all the differences. Just know that shellfish have a strong proclivity to having some toxins in them that can cause sodium channel issues.
Yep.
That's a nice EM explanation.
There you go.
And of course, shellfish include, mussels, clams, scallops, oysters, whatever. And it can present really weird. It can present, full-on anaphylaxis, angioedema, which is managed like, anaphylaxis and angioedema. And then you have, other weird scenarios of respiratory depression or paresthesias in their lips or hands, GI symptoms, bronchospasm, whatever. It doesn't really matter. The two classic ones are going to be essentially like bronchospasm with respiratory symptoms or weird neuro like paresthesias and GI symptoms. The point is that it all develops within obviously within a 24-hour period of eating shellfish and you're doing supportive care. Essentially to summarize this, whatever the patient has, just treat whatever's going on. Just make them comfortable and it will wear off and go away.
Right.
That's really it for shellfish. Don't get bogged down in the details of shellfish stuff.
Don't.
Now we're getting into bacterial infections from the sea. Sounds like a nice menu title. Sure. From the sea, bacteria. There are two classic marine bacterial infections you have to know about.
Hmm.
One, they're both Vibrio, obviously. One is Vibrio parahemolyticus. The other is Vibrio vulnificus. Now, why don't you talk about Vibrio parahemolyticus?
Again, this is so...
No, this is interesting. This actually needs care.
No, I know it needs care, but it's also just how many times are you going to see this? But yeah, you should.
If you work at the coast, I'm telling you right now from experience, I saw this.
If you're not, just ignore me.
If you're in a mountain,
you should know this. All right. Yeah. So look, this toxin.
If you work in Kansas, just turn the podcast off.
So it's important. Vibrio parahemolyticus. Toxin causes hemolysis. The pathophys for this. Undercooked raw fish or shellfish, just obviously seawater exposure. The presentation is just going to be cholera like diarrhea. So
it's Vibrio.
Tons of diarrhea, cramping, vomiting, or almost like dysentery. You can even have bloody stools with this. And the kind of the weird thing here is you can have wound infections with this. The treatment is going to be supportive care and antibiotics, Cipro or Bactrim or doxycycline. So this is one of those diarrheas that you need to really connect with some sort of undercooked raw fish or shellfish usage.
For sure.
What's the other one?
Vulnificus. I've seen this firsthand. So this
Vibrio
is
Vibrio vulnificus.
Vibrio vulnificus. Yeah. All these are Vibrio. The reason, hopefully you got that connection, dear listeners, with the Vibrio parahemolyticus, that's obviously in the same genus as Vibrio cholerae. So cholera. So if they're having some type of cholera-like illness, and they just recently were a seawater exposure or ate shellfish, that's Vibrio parahemolyticus, hands down on the test, obviously. Yeah. So Vibrio vulnificus is the wound one. And essentially, you can ingest this. Yeah, sure. And you get like non-specific GI symptoms, but they're never going to test you on that.
Yeah.
What they're going to tell you 100% is these are people that are either walking like on the beach and they cut themselves on a seashell or something or coral, whatever, or it's just some type of wound from like, you know, snorkeling or scuba diving, whatever. They cut their hand on something. From there, they will get this infection. And it's a pretty bad skin infection. This is an invasive cellulitis, invasive infection. It starts as just like a red patch, and then it spreads to some bruising, vesicles, bulle, and then it's necrosis. This is a scary infection.
Yeah, so what's the difference? We mentioned perihemolyticus also having wound infection. So tell us why. Like, how would you separate these two?
It could be both. It could be either one. But on the test, they're just going to always tell you that the vulnificus is the wound one and the perihemolyticus is the cholera thing.
Perfect.
That's just what they classically like to test on.
Nice.
But it could be both. I feel like we're going to have some like surfer dude correct us or some from Australia. Just like our fellow Australians listening to this pod are like, okay, we love Ian Borbombs, but this is where we disagree.
This is where we disagree because we know.
We see
this all the time.
What's the treatment
for vulnificus?
Yeah, so it's antibiotics, obviously. So thankfully, doxycycline treats everything nowadays. Yes. And you're going to give doxycycline, and you are 9 times out of 10, you're going to admit these patients.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding around. I had this discussion with a resident years ago on a patient who literally was spearfishing off the coast, in the Gulf Coast, and he cut himself on some coral, and he had like a wound on his like hand or something. Mm. And it wasn't that bad. It looked pretty benign, but he was like borderline tachycardic, young guy. And he's like, it just really hurts. It hurts, you know, more than I thought it would. It happened 2 days ago. And the resident's like, oh, just send him home with doxy. I'm like, you should just admit that patient. I'm telling you right now. Yeah. And it's like, you know, seawater things. If it was just regular cellulitis, I get it. But this is different. And sure enough, he got admitted. He developed worsening infection. He had to go to the OR and get like debrided and everything. Wow. It was crazy.
Wow.
So thankfully he did well. But this is just a classic example of these infections are pretty potent.
Right.
So vulnificus, don't mess with that. Doxycycline.
And if you're on the coast, you need to know this. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Don't worry about it in Kansas. Right. So shout out to Kansas.
Shout out
to all that corn. Doxycycline plus third generation cephalosporine or fluoroquinolone, but you're never going to do that. So doxycycline, ceftriaxone. Mm-hmm. And if you want to cover, obviously, you know, staff still, it could always be staff. You can do vancomycin if you want to.
Got it.
Doxycycline will cover most of that. Cool. All right. Last one. Mycobacterium marinum. Let it just sink in and marinate.
I just gotta get this done.
Granulomatous skin infection, and essentially it's classic chronic wounds on the wrist and hands. The difference between this and vulnificus is what? The following statement, the most high yield statement on this podcast.
They're gonna have an aquarium or their own fish tank.
Yes.
That's it. Yep. Got it. Done.
So fish tank or aquarium worker, wounds on the hand,
right.
100%. Mycobacterium marinum. Get a culture, usually antibiotic resistant. Remember, this is the same genus as tuberculosis, and you're doing doxycycline or Bactrim.
So for some of the folks out there, it's really easy to just like look at a sheet and memorize all these. Mm-hmm. For other folks like me, I have to hear this over and over again because it's something I'm
maybe
really not that interested in. Yes. Yeah. I'm just not that interested in this.
I thought I was pretty funny with you.
No, I know you tried to like jazz it up. But again, if you've been listening to EM Borbons for the last few years, you know when I just tend to check out on certain topics.
Yeah, most of the time.
No. Yeah. So this is one of those topics.
That's why I'm the content director.
Yeah, you're the content guy. I'm the one who packages it up and makes sure that people will actually pay attention.
Oh,
so
shut up.
All right. Listen, Briggs, we're going to do a short here. Now, this is going to be poisoning coming from fish and certain types of symptoms people are going to have coming from fish. You're going to get tested on this. There are two main ones, scromboid and ciguatera poisoning. All right, get into it.
Cool. I'm looking at the camera. Scromboid. Is going to be like an allergic-like reaction, starts within minutes of eating improperly stored fish due to like a histamine reaction kind of thing.
Got it.
You're going to have metallic peppery taste to the mouth and then just allergic kind of symptoms, GI, non-specific symptoms. Give antihistamines, hydrate them. It'll wear off. They'll be cool. They can eat fish again, no problem.
Metallic, bitter, peppery taste. Remember that. And then that flushing sensation, they like to say even paresthesias. Awesome.
Yeah. The other one that's going to be essentially always put in contrast to scomboid is ciguatera. This is going to be some type of weird neuro thing. It's abstract. It occurs hours and it lasts for days to weeks after eating certain types of fish. The classic symptom, hands down, they have to mention this, some type of paresthesia, and or hot and cold temperature reversal.
They love the hot and cold.
They love it.
And the supportive care, paresthesia, obviously. And again, it's not going to be right drink after, alcohol. Right? Stromboid's right after. Now, this is the second short we're going to do on this. Bacterial infections from the sea. They're two classic ones. Run into it, just two liners on each.
Cool. So you have two bacteria you got to worry about here. Vibrio parahemolyticus, which is basically like cholera. GI symptoms, but it can get pretty severe. Bloody stool, mucoid stool, have a low threshold to admit these patients, take care of them. It's always basically like a cholera type of infection after either marine, you know, life ingestion or seawater exposure or something, you know. And then the other one, the more classic one, I'd say the more high yield one that you will get a question on is Vibrio vulnificus, which is essentially a really, really scary necrotizing skin infection. Always pretty much admit these patients in real life, have a low threshold to admit them. The antibiotic treatment, thankfully, is doxycycline plus, you know, a third generation cephalosporin.
Yeah. And then again, they might require surgical treatment as well, depending on what timeline you see them in.
Right.
Awesome. Two shorts done. I think those are two great summaries as well. Feel free to check out our YouTube channel to listen to those again, or just rewind the podcast as well. I think that's it, Briggs. Best of luck. IT is coming up. We're going to have some summary rapid bombs coming out on our premium pod here. So be on the lookout for that. I know a lot of folks like that when we did it before board exams last year were up. So look out for that over the next few days.
Stay tuned.
Anything else, Briggs?
Nope.
All right. See you.